I am and who my wife is. I was a student at Cornerstone maybe 10 years ago or so. My wife back there, Wendy, we met at Calvary Bible College. She's from Taiwan and Texas, and we were married 9 years ago, from which time we started serving in Chinese churches and finally decided that the Lord was leading us into missions overseas. So we packed our bags and moved to Taiwan 2 years ago, where we've been serving as missionaries for the past 2 years. So God has done a lot in our lives. He's taught us a lot. And we want to share with you a little bit tonight about Taiwan, about our ministry in Taiwan, and hopefully give you a perspective on the world we live in that will open your eyes to something that you don't see on a regular basis. So I call these my reflections. And I know that photo isn't a reflection. And so, but it was taken on a mountain, and it was the sun, so we thought it was pretty. So, anyways, I'm going to start sharing about life in Taiwan, and bear with me. So, I'm going to quickly give you the overview of what the past 2 years have looked like for us, and then talk about the lessons we've learned. I have been engaged full-time in language study. Now, you might hear that and think, well, yeah, that's what missionaries do, right? Sounds pretty glamorous, doesn't it? Well, actually, language school is the most boring thing in the entire world. You want to know why? Because you have, like, an entire year where all you know how to say is things like this. I like dogs. I also like cats. I have a dog at home. Do you have a dog at home? Now, that's awful to listen to, isn't it? It's painful. And so while you're in language school learning to say those things, other people have to suffer to listen to you say those things. And it's just, it's a terrible experience. But if you want to be a missionary, it's something you have to do. So I suffered through that for a year. Year number two starts to get kind of fun because you can start to communicate with people. You can understand conversations. Start to understand what's happening around you at church. And so language study has been pretty sweet in that way. The way that I did it is I was full-time at a university, which if you know anything about universities in Asia, basically that means lots and lots of tests all the time. Like every week there's a big test and you're just like constantly cramming to try to get ready for the tests. And so at the university, they emphasize reading and writing Chinese, and then the teacher is constantly speaking, so you're learning how to speak a little bit, but you never get time to practice. And so I was able to learn to read and write, and that was pretty cool. That was something that I didn't know if it was going to be possible. A lot of missionaries say, well, it's not worth it to try to learn to read and write Chinese because it takes too much time. But the Lord provided, and I was able to pass the university curriculum up through 2 years. So along with that, I was also in a one-on-one tutoring school where basically you go and you have a teacher and you sit down and you talk for 2 hours. Now, bless those ladies' hearts, the teachers, they have to listen to some really bad Chinese for a job. And so it's pretty rough, but it was a tremendous asset to me because you have all that time with a native Chinese speaker and they're constantly there correcting you, helping you to progress. And so after 2 years of that, I am basically conversational in Chinese, which is, I know it doesn't sound like much, but from when I started, you can see it, I've gone a long way. Having said that, I still have some work to do. So as we go back to Taiwan for the coming 2 years, I'm going to continue part-time language study because as it turns out, the Bible is kind of hard to talk about in a foreign language because there's a lot of words that you wouldn't think are that hard, but once you actually start to get into it, teaching the Bible takes a pretty extensive vocabulary. Counseling does as well, and my wife and I do biblical counseling. We hope to be able to bring biblical counseling to Taiwan, and biblical counseling also requires a pretty extensive vocabulary. And just think for a minute, if somebody shares a really, really deep emotional problem in their life, and you answer with like, oh yeah, that's pretty bad, that's not enough, right? You need to be able to have more vocabulary. And so I'm still in language study. As you study the language, you're also doing a lot of investigation into the culture of the place you go. And as we've been in Taiwan for 2 years, I can say our perspective on what Taiwan is and the needs in Taiwan has changed a lot. As we've grown to know the people, to know why they do what they do, why they believe what they believe, we think they're really weird. But we think people here are really weird too. And so that's just how it is. You just have to figure out the things about them that are strange and then try to learn how to communicate the gospel to them. And so I'm going to be talking about some of the cultural understanding, and hopefully you guys can grow in your cultural understanding of Taiwan as well. We've also been involved in church ministry, and I'm just going to tell you one thing. When we got involved in our church in Taiwan, I made the biggest mistake of our entire 2 years there. And that was, as I introduced myself to the pastor of our new church, I gave him my business card. Okay, now what's the problem with that? Well, in Chinese culture, you pull out your business card and you're like, here you go, nice to meet you. And when the person takes your business card and looks at it, that is like placing you in society in their mind. And so they're like, okay, this guy is, or was, in our thinking, a pastor. But in China, if you've been a pastor, you're always a pastor. Unless you like completely abandon Christianity, you stay a pastor till you die. And so from the moment I handed my business card to the pastor of our church, I went from being Jake to being Pastor Ye. And being Pastor Ye is not easy because there's all these cultural expectations for a pastor that I have to live up to. Now, the cool thing is this. I am officially, as far as we can tell, the tallest pastor in Taiwan, like on record. Because they put out this magazine article about the tallest pastor in Taiwan. He was 6'4", and I'm 6'8". So our pastor's like super excited, but we're not telling anyone yet because he's like, I'm going to bust that out sometime when we just like wow everyone. But we've been involved in church ministry, and it's been really neat to work alongside brothers and sisters in Taiwan. One of the things that is kind of unique about the way that we are missionaries is that we are sent out by local churches to local churches. We don't have an organization. The main reason for that is my wife is Taiwanese, so when we go over there, we don't need visas or anything, and our authority comes from the church that we are serving at over there, as well as our church here in the States, our sending church back in Springfield, Illinois, and the elders there. And so being in Taiwan and becoming a part of the body in Taiwan, while I was like rusty for a long time in my communication, incapable in my communication for a while, we were still able to really get to have good relationships with the believers over there. We'll show you some slides of what that looks like. Now, a defining idea from these past 2 years is the idea found in 1 Peter 2, 9 through 12. I only brought one Bible to the America, and it's a Chinese Bible, so I didn't bring it up here with me because I'm going to just have us read this together in our preferred translation. Do we do ESV here? Or is it King James or New King James? Or it is ESV? Okay. Well, tell us what we're looking for, Graham. I'm going to be a heretic and use my phone Bible. ESV, okay. So let's look up 1 Peter 2. I really recommend that you bring your paper Bible to church. I would never do this if I had my Bible here. 1 Peter 2, 9 through 12. And let's read it together because that's what we do in Taiwan. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. Now, if I had to say the part of that verse that stands out the most, it's that sojourners and exiles part. And I would have to just say, like, I know I'm kind of adding to the scriptures and I'm not trying to be bad, but I feel like an alien in Taiwan. Like, everywhere I go, an alien. Not just like a alien immigrant alien, like an alien from the stars alien. People look at me and they think, that guy's so weird. And they point and they say things. I'll tell you a funny story. We were at the park the other day, and two little boys were running by us. And one little boy points at me and he goes, look at that really tall foreigner. And the other little boy says, yeah, let's kill him. And you say, like, they just assume I can't speak Chinese, right? And actually, I didn't. Wendy's the one that really busted them, because they ran up the hill and she's like, hey, he can hear you. And so you just feel like you don't fit in every moment. Like, every time you go in a restaurant, they're like, oh, you can eat our food? And it's like, yeah, I've been eating it for 2 years. I love it. They'll say, oh, you can use chopsticks? Wow, this is great. And when you can speak Chinese, they just can't believe it. They can't fathom that a white person would be able to speak and read Chinese. Now, I know racism hurts, doesn't it? But it's true. They think that white people aren't smart enough to learn. And so, all that to say, when you're over there, it is clear that you don't fit in if you're like me. And if you are a Christian, it's a very similar thing. There's a huge divide between those who believe and those who do not believe in Taiwan. And it's not like here where you walk and you go to the grocery store and you meet somebody and they say, oh, I'm a Christian, but yeah, I go to this or that church. And do you believe in Jesus? Kind of. Nothing like that. The people that are Christians, it's like they've got a mark on their forehead. And they're really weird. And actually, the churches are full of really weird people, too. Well, let's talk about this. So there's this word that if you guys, most of you guys go to Taiwan, you're going to need to learn, and it's foreigner. Now, the way you say it is, why guo ren? So it's like the why is down, and then guo ren, and you say like up too. So everybody try to say it with me. I know it's a little hard. Why guo ren? Okay, great. You're going to hear that all the time. Foreigner, foreigner, foreigner. When you're in Taiwan, you're the foreigner. Now, you think it's like a little island, right? But anyone who's not from that little island, they're from the outside, okay? And so if you don't look like you're Chinese, you're a foreigner. If you're Japanese or Korean, you're okay until you start talking. And then, foreigner, they still know. One of the aspects of me being a foreigner is I never can quite figure everything out. And actually, my wife has that problem too, even though she is Taiwanese. So we needed a move. And so we found a moving company. And what do you do when you need to find a moving company? You find the cheapest one, right? So that's what we did. And this is what we got. Mr. Beautiful Bodybuilder Moving Company. What do you think? That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? You see these guys with the big muscles, you think, yeah, we're going to get some real movers here. Well, this is what we got. All right. So this is our Mr. Beautiful Bodybuilder. Now notice the shoes. You think this guy is ready to be moving some heavy stuff? No, those are sandals, right? Here he is. That's our stuff. In the back of the van, getting ready to be moved into our office. We have a temporary storage space at the church. These guys are going to move our things. And I'm just thinking, oh, no. You hear all the stories of, like, the bad movers in America that break all your stuff. These guys are, like, the movers from your worst nightmare. They were like pirate zombie movers. Like, they're moving things, and you can't even tell if they're conscious half the time. It was really crazy. Now, guy number two, he's wearing Crocs, okay? So that's a little better, but there was something funny about this guy in the orange. When you move things, you usually move it like this, right? Well, this guy, what he does is he spits on his hands, rubs them together, leans over, pulls his shirt up over his belly, grabs the box on his back, and carries it. So he's kind of like waddling. And you just think, I don't understand how this guy has a job doing this. But he does. This is more of an artistic one, but you notice the sandal flopping as he's stepping up, okay? Now, the reason why I'm making the point of these guys being bad movers is because there was one item that we didn't want broken, and that is my wife's Clavinova, because it's not cheap, and it's made of, like, particle board. So if you break it, you can never fix it. And once it's broken, it's done. And so I told these guys, you've got to be careful with this, okay? Because I've seen them moving other stuff, and I'm thinking this is not going to be good. And so I emphasized, please be careful. And so they spent 5 minutes trying to decide how they're going to hold it. And then when they finally decided, they chose the worst possible way that you could hold it. So one guy's got it up here, one down here. It's not stable at all. And so I should have taken a video, but I didn't get a video. This is the way that the piano was moving up the stairs. What do you guys think? You think it made it? Now I know it. Okay. Whoops. Okay. We're having a little bit of an issue. Okay. So frame number one. Frame number two. What's frame number three? Yeah. So it has one big gash, but actually it didn't get any legs broken, and so we're really happy about that. We thanked God, and we thank God that it was over as the movers pulled away, and we learned our lesson that you don't want to hire the Mr. Beautiful Bodybuilder moving company. Now, I thought this was just so ironic and pretty funny to me that I told some of our church members, you're never going to believe these movers that came. You know what they said? They said, of course, that's how all the movers are. And when you're in Taiwan, if you hire movers, that's what they're like. So you don't want to move. And so I learned my lesson. We don't want to move anymore, but we didn't know that. Okay, now there's so many things I didn't know, and I don't know, and I still don't know. But we're starting to learn, and as we're starting to learn, it's changing the way that we look at the type of ministry that we're going to have. And that's not just, all the core values are the same. We went to Taiwan with the intention of training leaders to share the gospel, prepare other leaders, discipleship, biblical counseling, real understanding of the Bible and of hermeneutics, good theology. All of those things have been the goal from day one. But being able to communicate those things to the people is going to look different than we originally thought. Because you know what I thought the way that you teach people is? Well, you go to the church and you stand up in front of them and you start teaching them because they want to learn, right? Isn't that how it works here? You have a Bible study and people come and they're excited. You have something good to teach and people come because they want to learn. It's not like that in Taiwan. Taiwan's a very different place. Why? Well, here's another idea that you need to know about Taiwan. You can say it, Chinese is kind of like singing, so I know for you guys this is going to be hard to say, but it's like yi wo feng. You just like real high, okay? Yi wo feng. Can you try? Yi wo feng. Taiwanese people like to do things like a swarm of bees. They'll say that. They'll say, we like to do the stuff that everybody else does. Okay, now is that like Americans? Not at all. Americans like to do things that no one else is doing because they think it's cool to do stuff alone. But if you're in Taiwan, you want to do stuff with the crowd. All right, now this is the night market by our house. And my wife is small, but she's being pushed in a line. You kind of just like stand there and the people next to you will just shove you. And you'll kind of make your way down the conveyor belt of unhealthy food. And it's a super, super fun place to be. That's the night market on a weekend. Now, if you didn't know, if you just went to Taiwan, you'd think, well, you need to go to the night market on the weekend. But if you go to the night market on the weekend, it's like this. But that's how it's supposed to be. So you should go to the night market on the weekend. But do you guys want to go to the night market on the weekend? No, nobody does, right? Because we're different than them. It's because you're foreigners. You don't get it. See, you want to do things like a swarm of bees. Here's another one, Costco. That looks fun, doesn't it? Moving around in Costco is kind of like battling it out on the freeway because everyone has carts and they're moving them like vehicles, so you have to dodge in between and not get run over. It's a really, really scary thing. But whenever everybody gets off work, they all go to Costco. So every night when you go to Costco, it'll basically look like this. What do you do if there's going to be a typhoon? Anybody know? You go to the grocery store and buy ramen noodles. Why? Because ramen noodles are the only thing that is going to keep you alive when the power is out and if the water gets shut off. Now, actually, there's a bunch of food that you could eat, but you want to do things like a swarm of bees. So one person gets ramen noodles, everyone gets ramen noodles. You're walking around and all the carts are full of ramen noodles. Wendy was swayed and she wants to be like the swarm of bees. Now, does that guy look happy? No, but he is because he's with the crowd and he's got his noodles. He still went and he did it. Okay, now this one is this one's really special. It was New Year's Day, and we were out with some friends, and they took us out to the beach. It was kind of cold, but we went to the beach. It's actually like a mud beach. It's not a real beach. There's a bunch of crabs, and you like walk on the dock out into the mud. But we went with everyone else to the beach, and everyone was there. And while we were there, our friends said, you know what? On the way home, we should go out to eat. And we said, that's a great idea. Let's go out to eat together. So what do you think we chose as our place to go out to eat? Of course, the rest stop on the side of the highway. Why? Because that's what everyone does. For real. You walk in, and everyone does it because everyone was out driving that day because it was a holiday, and so everyone has to drive home. So everyone decides, let's eat at the rest stop on the way home. So when we got there and we went to go get our food, there wasn't a place to sit, so we had to sit outside. And they loved it. We loved it because we were doing it as a swarm of bees. New Year's Day, Chinese New Year, New Year's Day. We took Grandma out. We took her to the old street. This is our uncle. It was his idea. Does our uncle look happy? He's thrilled, okay? Because we're with everyone else. That was the bottleneck there to get in. It was actually pretty cool what happened. Wendy's grandma can't hear. She has hearing aids, and she turns them off a lot. And we're getting up into this, and we just know, like, she doesn't verbally communicate this, but it's like, this is a market. I know what to do. So she grabs Wendy's hand and just starts strong-arming, like, pushing through this crowd straight to the front, cutting everyone, because this is kind of a line. And she just pushed right up front. And all the people are getting mad at Wendy, like, why are you cutting the line so, like, flagrantly? And Wendy just says, oh, it's my grandma. I don't know. And so they made it through this in a hurry. And Grandma bought some stuff that she wanted from the market. But being there, it wouldn't seem very enjoyable, would it? But everybody's doing it. And so it's the best. It's the flavor you're looking for. You want to be with the crowd. Now, I'm going to introduce another idea, and this one we don't have to say because it's a little more, it's longer and unnecessary, but chuantong xinyang. It's like, this is our traditional beliefs. These are the ideas that we have always had, and so we go along with them because it is what we know. And it doesn't really matter about truth. It doesn't matter about logically defending our positions. It's just what we know. It's what our parents knew. It's what our grandparents knew. It's the tradition. Now, can you see how if you have an idea that you want to be like a swarm of bees, this idea fits right in with it? Because this is what everyone believes. Why would I go against what everyone believes? There's two major religions that we run into on a regular basis. The first is Taoism. That's a really, really intricately built building. You look at the top, and it is impressive. You walk up. There's only one problem. The things on top are demons. You see, Taoism is a religion that it interacts with the spirit world, trying to appease the gods or flee from demons, get good luck, and cast off bad luck. Basically, Taoism is a religion of having interactions with spirits and ghosts and demons. Now, that sounds really scary, and it is really scary. When you're there and when you see it and when you see this type of religion, you just think, how sad. People living in constant fear, constant suspicion and superstition. But that's Taoism. The other one that we see a lot is Buddhism. Now, you see the difference between those two buildings, right? The first one's all crazy, all these like dragons and monsters on the top. This one looks very peaceful, doesn't it? And that's because Buddhism is all about peace. They recognize that the problem with the world is people and that we need to change and be righteous. And so they say you need to be righteous and you need to be disciplined and work your way towards eternal peace. And the way to do that is after you die, you'll be reincarnated and you continue on the path of righteousness until eventually everything just ceases. You cease to be hungry. You cease to be have desires. You're at perfect peace. Now, Buddhism and Taoism and these two religions actually have a lot of power over people's thinkings in ways that they wouldn't really, they're not thinking about it as that, but it does. Let me show you some of the things we come up against on a regular basis. This is behind our house. We've got a temple. And you know what that little cage is? It's not a drum cage. It's a firework cage. Why do you need a firework cage? So you can light off as many fireworks as you want and not start a fire. And so they light off a bunch of fireworks in those firework cages, and it's like this crazy amount of noise. And the hope is that the gods will hear and the gods will pour down blessings upon them. Here are fireworks in the streets. Before I went to Taiwan, I thought that your gas tank would blow up if fireworks blew up under your car. I was completely wrong, because they light off fireworks in the streets all the time. And it's the same thing. Gods pay attention. Gods give us blessings. Gods keep us from misfortune. This was a celebration to a god that we saw in the streets, and it was actually kind of in a gangster neighborhood, but they had all these fireworks going off. It was like the 4th of July times 5, and all the car alarms were going off because the fireworks were so loud. And it was, listen to us, hear us, and give us what we're looking for. They are actually afraid if they don't give the god a good enough birthday party, he's going to be mad at them all year and punish them. Well, that's what it looked like. It gets crazy. So it'll go on like this for a long time. I'm not going to wait for the whole thing, because it really is just like lots and lots of fireworks. But when you see that, that's here, pretty impressive, isn't it? We don't normally get to see fireworks like that. And it starts going crazy, like all different directions and stuff. Time, effort, money being put into the hope that the God's going to hear. I don't know if you can see that. Can you guys see this right here? Looks like a monster. They worship these spirits, and it's like demon worship happening in front of you. This one is special. Do you guys know what that is? That's a motorcade of the gods, and those are remote control convertibles with little idols in them. Now, the real sad thing is this guy right here is controlling it. So you think, like, couldn't they get real convertibles and just drive it? Because it's the same thing, isn't it? But instead, it's these little toy cars. Now, you see that, and it's almost a joke, isn't it? We look at that, and we laugh. We're like, waha, the gods need little cars, you know? It's just kind of silly, isn't it? But they're parading these gods through the city in the hope that the gods are going to bless the city and that the city is going to have good fortune. Now, this thing looks like the Ark of the Covenant, and it's got a little god sitting on top with a demon face, sitting on a throne. And it just reeks of the Old Testament, doesn't it? When you see this stuff, when you hear all the loud noises, what does that remind you of? The prophets of Baal, right? Calling out for Baal to listen and screaming louder, cutting themselves. What did Elijah do? He kind of made fun of them, didn't he? But for us, we can't make fun of them, because as we see this, it's really sad. It's our neighbors. It's all around us. This is people who need the gospel, who are looking for hope, but have zero access to it. Why did they believe it? What does all this come from? This is a god of school. And so you put your student ID up there, and you worship him. Slide got mixed up. There he is. You worship him, and he will help you with your tests. He'll help you get into the school you want to get into. This is a fire hydrant, obviously. There we are. Obviously a fire hydrant, right? What's that thing next to it? It's a little god. And that god watches over the intersection so that there's no car wrecks. And what happens if a car wreck happens? Well, he just wasn't paying attention at that time, right? But somebody paid to put a fire hydrant there. Is that a good idea? Yeah, if there's a fire, we want a fire hydrant. Somebody paid to put a god there. There's something to they're looking for something. What is it? Does anybody know what that little guy is? He's a ghost. So we have this one month. It's called Ghost Month, And it's kind of like a whole month of Halloween. They say the ghosts come out. And the gates to the underworld are opened, and the ghosts are roaming the streets. And on Ghost Month, if there's anyone that's afraid of ghosts, there's no real ghosts, okay? They just believe it. It's not true. But they say there's ghosts in the streets, and that the ghosts are prowling around. And so you can't say the word ghost. You have to say, good brother, good brothers. I wonder if there are any good brothers around, because if you say ghosts, they might be mad, all right? You can't say your name or your address. Why? Because if you do, they think the ghost may follow you home. You can't go out swimming. Why not? Because when you go under the water, the ghost will grab you and pull you under and drown you. Hey, you can't buy a car. You know why? Because if you buy a car, a ghost might attach himself to the car and you'll have really bad luck with the car. Houses. You don't want to go to the hospital. All of these different superstitions. And before I went to Taiwan, I probably would have thought like, oh, maybe there's some crazy people believe that, but it's not really real. No, it's real. Bunches of people believe it. If you want to buy a car, buy it during Ghost Month because it'll be a lot cheaper. If you want to go to the hospital, go during Ghost Month because there'll be no one there. You have it to yourself. And it's true. Like, we've witnessed it. A mass of people who believe this level of superstition. Very common sight, an altar out in front of a business. They do it in front of every business a couple times a year. They do it in front of our apartment complex, too, for our apartment complex. It's an offering to the gods, to the appease the gods, so that we will have a smooth year. The gods definitely have very bad nutrition, according to this table, right? It's all, apart from the bananas, it's all stuff that's going to kill you. And in the three little cups, there's wine, there's incense behind it. The hope is that the gods will smell and be delighted and eat and drink the food. And what ends up happening is once the gods spiritually eat the food, this food is passed out and the people go ahead and eat it. It is crazy that people in our day are doing these kinds of things in hopes of reaching out to the spiritual world. But it happens. This is a Buddhist pagoda. All that stuff that you just saw is Taoism. This is Buddhism. You go up in this beautiful tower. It's on the top of a mountain. There's like no people. You can hear the sound of the wind through the tower. It's a very, very tranquil and beautiful place. When you get to the top, there's a big bell. You can ring the bell and it makes a really nice sound. And you think, this is such a peaceful, peaceful place. But you know, the peace that Buddhist people are looking for, even if they go up on their mountain, and even if they enjoy the pagoda, the reality is they're going to die, right? If they stay up there long enough, they're going to get hungry and have to come down. We can't reach a pagoda in the clouds and enjoy our days in the tranquility of God's creation because there's a coming judgment. And the people aren't ready for that judgment. They're hoping that when they die, they're going to be reincarnated and that it's going to work out, that they're going to find peace eventually. But that's kind of hopeless, isn't it? Because they still have to face death, and there's nothing peaceful about dying, unless you're a Christian. This is an old uncle of Wendy's, and we go to his house and we talk with him, and he's a smart guy. He used to be a teacher. And every day he writes the Buddhist scriptures. They don't make sense. He doesn't think they make sense. But he writes them and writes them and writes them because he's hoping that it's going to do something good for him and that it's going to bring him peace in some way. We told him, hey, you can write the Bible. He says, I actually like Bible stories. I like the story about Jesus telling the rich young man that he needs to leave everything and follow him. I like the story of the Good Samaritan. He says, I've read the Bible. So we ask him, well, why don't you write the Bible? Why don't you read the Bible more? You know, do you believe the Bible? And you know what his answer is? He says, that's just not our religion. Our religion is these things. You can have your religion, and it's good, but we have our religion. He's blinded by his tradition, and he's blinded by his culture, and he's doing what everyone else is doing. I'm going to skip these two because they're not important. So the result, there is a tremendous difficulty for believers in Taiwan because they are going against everything around them, everything in their culture, They're fighting against their families in a very direct way. When they refuse to participate in idol ceremonies, they are oftentimes ostracized from the family. It's difficult for them when they're at work because all of their coworkers believe this stuff. We met a lady who was talking about it, and she said, you know, I don't know what I would do if I wasn't an idol worshiper, because on all the holidays, I'd be so bored, because that's what we do. It's something that's so ingrained in their lives that to step away from it, it's really severing a very personal part of yourself. Well, it creates difficulty for churches, because you know what happens when a Buddhist or a Taoist person gets saved? They become a Christian who still thinks like a Buddhist or Taoist person in most areas of their life. Because when we believe the gospel and we believe in who Jesus is, it doesn't undo all of our cultural beliefs and all of the things that we've grown up with and our way of looking at the world. For us, we kind of have a hard time distinguishing between what is truly biblical and what it comes from our culture. And a lot of times people will point that out to us and we feel kind of offended. But think about it. If your entire life is lived believing these sorts of systems, to leave it, it's a major thing. And churches struggle with that. And so I'll give you two examples. One example is if you live your whole life as a Taoist, you're fighting demons, trying to make the gods happy. You know what kind of teaching is really attractive? If you become a charismatic, you still get to fight demons, right? If you become a charismatic, you can pray for health and wealth and prosperity, and they eat it up. And so the churches in Taiwan are ravaged with Christians who think like Taoists and become charismatics. In fact, most of the churches in Taiwan are charismatic for that reason. There's another group, the Buddhists. Remember what they're like? They're looking for peace, and how do they do it? By their own righteousness. Who does that sound like? Pharisees. They get into this habit of doing good things, trying to make their way to God, and then they work so hard, and they put in so much effort, and they pray, they go to all the Bible studies, they learn all the stuff, trying to work hard to work their way up, and they become very, very proud in their hearts. And we have a lot of Chinese people who think like Buddhists, and they become Pharisees, and those people are in the church too. So how do we as Christians meet these types of people? How do we help these people? Not just the people in the church, but the people outside. It's difficult for us, okay? And I say that us, who's the us? Well, Wendy and I, and any of you guys that work with Chinese people from Taiwan, because that's where all of this that I'm sharing with you is Taiwan's situation, Taiwan's religion, traditional religion. There's some carryover to other places, but this is Taiwan. It's difficult for people who hope to go to Taiwan because it is hard ground. It's a place where it is hard for people to become Christians. And once they are Christians, it's hard for them to live like Christians. Okay? It seems real hopeless, doesn't it? When you see those pictures and when you see the reality of the situation. Well, here's the beautiful thing. You know what the beautiful thing is? We read 1 Peter before we started this. And what are we as Christians? We're God's special people, aren't we? He's taken us, he's brought us to himself, he's given us the Holy Spirit, he's changed us on the inside, and he's made us a different people who are going to be weird. You know what? It fits, doesn't it? When you read the Bible, it's always been a minority, hasn't it? In the U.S., it's a minority, isn't it? All these churches, but do they really preach the gospel? All these supposed Christians, but are they really following Christ? You know, Christians here are pretty weird too. You guys don't fit in, do you? You look on Facebook and you feel like you're an island in the ocean and different from everyone else. And so the reality of it is, it's the same in Taiwan as it is here, but there's some major needs that need to be addressed. So I want to introduce you very quickly to our church. And we've been so blessed by the people that we've met in Taiwan. They're not perfect. They have a lot of room to grow, but they're a cool group of people. All the people you see here are our church members. We normally don't look this ghetto. We went up to this hiking trip in the mountains. It was like 40 degrees, and there was no walls on the restaurant, and so we were breathing. You can see your breath. The food got cold really fast. But a really neat group of people, all different ages, not a lot of them. We've got about 100 or so people in our church. We're considered a pretty big church in Taiwan, especially for being biblically conservative. This is our youth group, mostly girls, right? And so it's fun to share with them. On Saturday nights, my wife and I teach the youth group, and we have like a English outreach beforehand that whoever wants to come and practice English can. We have enjoyed getting to know the young people of Taiwan and have found them to be very, very different from young people here with a whole different set of problems and pressures in their life. This is our ladies at church preparing for a children's outreach activity. Our VBS program at church, where we invite kids from the community to come and hear the gospel. Something in Taiwan that is really neat is that the teachers from our children's program, let me see if I have this on here or not. Okay. I'll just show you this one. This isn't actually what it's of, but I'll tell you about this. The teachers from our children's ministry at church are able to go into the elementary school and share the gospel during school time. So in the elementary schools, they'll have from like 7:30 a.m. to 8:10 a.m. kind of a study hall period. And if the teacher in that class allows you to come in, the school gives you freedom to teach whatever you want. And so they come in and they teach the Bible, they teach the gospel, stories from the Old Testament, and let the kids memorize Bible verses. And this happens on the government's dollar. So that's a pretty cool opportunity and something that you don't really think of being possible here, but it's something that is available over there and that my wife has been able to be a part of. We hold a English camp in the summertime for middle school age kids to be able to come, and we are able to teach them English and teach them the Bible at the same time and establish relationships with them. Our church is across from a middle school, and so every day those kids walk to and from the school, to and from their school, and pass our church. And so now that we have a relationship with them, we see them out on the street, we're able to call their name out and have a conversation with them. It's been really neat in that way. These are all things that we have done in the past 2 years while in language school under the authority of the church over there in Taiwan. We're doing the things that they want to do in the community, and it's been really, really fun. It's been cool, and we've seen God's hand in it. Now, as we look ahead, our goal in Taiwan is to train leaders. And so as far as how that's going to happen, my Chinese needs to improve before we're going to be effective in that work. We hope to do biblical counseling. Again, I need more work in Chinese. So for the next 2 years, I'm going to continue language study one-on-one with the tutor, like I told you about, 2 hours a day. And we're going to try to get as deep in vocabulary as we're able to. My wife and I are going to be translating some things for our master's degree thesis. And so we'll be translating biblical counseling booklets. That'll hopefully coincide with that. And eventually, our hope is that we're going to be able to train pastors in Taiwan to do the work of the ministry, that we'll be able to train people to do biblical counseling in our church and in our city. It is such a privilege to be in Taiwan, and as we go there, we truly, after these 2 years, we truly feel like it's home for us. And so we thank you for your prayers for us in these past years, and we hope to share with you again 2 years from now when we're back. If you would like to be on our mailing list, we've got cards. We were supposed to have a sign-up sheet, but I forgot it. So maybe if there's a paper, we could get it. But the cards on the back have our email address, and you can email us, and we'll get you our prayer letter. We have some fun like snacks and stuff in the back, so you can feel free to eat them. And if you guys want to ask us questions or whatever, we'll be out there. So that'll be awesome. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for the goodness that you've shown us in sending us our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, we did not deserve the grace that we've received, but you've poured it out on us in such abundance that we are overwhelmed as we think about our unfitness for it, but Lord, our responsibility to the world around us. I pray that you'd help us to be a light in a dark place. I pray that Taiwan would be blessed because of tonight and just the time that we've shared together. I pray that Hot Springs would be blessed as well. Lord, we thank you for the food and the time of fellowship that we will share. We commit our fellowship to you and to your name for your glory. In the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.